himself, but he knew other people that did. It was about the flotilla, actually.
Astonish us, Skye said.
Simple question, how many ships were there originally before the Islamabad went up?
Five, of course, Gomez said.
Ah, but what if that's wrong? What if there were six originally? One blew up, we know that. But what if the other one's still out there?
Wouldn't we have seen it?
Not if it's dead, just a haunted husk of a ship trailing behind us.
Very convenient, Skye said. It wouldn't happen to have a name by any chance, would it?
As a matter of fact...
I knew it.
They say it's called the Caliuche. Skye sighed, knowing it was going to be one of those journeys again. There had been a time, many years ago now, when the three of them had viewed the ship's train network as a source of amusement and carefully controlled danger. A place for hazardous games and make-believe, ghost stories and challenges. There were disused tunnels branching off from the main routes, leading, so it was rumoured, to hidden cargo bays or secret caches of stowaway sleepers, smuggled aboard by rival governments at the last moment. There were places where he and his friends had dared each other to ride on the outsides of the trains, grazing their backs against the speeding walls of the tunnels. Older now, he looked back on those games with wry bewilderment, half proud that they had taken those risks, half horrified that they had come so close to what would obviously have been gruesome death. It was a lifetime ago. They were serious now, doing their bit for the ship. Everyone had to pull their weight in these lean new times, and Skye and his companions were regularly assigned the work of escorting supplies to and from the workers in the spine and the engine section. Usually they had to help unload the stuff and manhandle it through crawlways and down access shafts to wherever it was needed, so the work was far from the soft option it might have appeared. Skye seldom finished a shift without some fresh cuts and bruises, and all the effort had given him a set of muscles he had never expected to gain. They were an unlikely trio. Gomez was working his way towards a job in the engine section, in the hallowed priesthood of the propulsion team. Now and then he would get to ride the train all the way there and even talk with some of the whispering engine techs, trying to impress them with his knowledge of containment physics and the other arcana of antimatter propulsion theory. Skye had watched some of those exchanges, and had observed the way Gomez's questions and replies were not always swatted ruthlessly down by the techs. Sometimes they were even moderately impressed, implying that Gomez would one day be allowed to graduate to their soft-spoken priesthood. Norquinco was a different creature entirely. He had a capacity to become completely and obsessively lost in a problem, overwhelmingly able to be fascinated by anything, provided it was sufficiently complex and layered. He was an assiduous keeper of lists, deeply enamored of serial numbers and classifications. His favorite realm of study, unsurprisingly, was the hideous complexity of the Santiago's nervous system. The computer networks which veined the ship, and which had been altered, rerouted, and written over like a palimpsest countless times since the launch, most recently after the blackout. Most sane adults quailed at attempting to understand more than a tiny subset of that complexity, but Norquinco was actually drawn to the entirety, perversely thrilled by something that most people saw as bordering on the pathological. Because of that, he frightened people. The techs who worked on the network problems had well-trodden solution pathways for most glitches, and the last thing they needed was someone showing them how to do things fractionally more efficiently. Jokingly, they said it would put them out of work, but that was just a polite way of saying that Norquinco made them uneasy. So he rode with Skye and Gomez,